You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Welcome to another episode. David's back. David's back from his travels abroad. He shook many hands and kissed many babies. Is that the saying? That's what they say, right?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good one. Yeah. So how's it been going?
It's been living the dream, I guess, as well as it can be in this world that we're living in today. I'm surprised you traveled. I heard it's an extensive route to be able to do that nowadays.
I know. Yeah. It was difficult to get over to the Balkans. Yeah, it was I've been planning to go since about April, and the flights were costly, and then many flights were cancelled, and then it was terrible. So lockdowns and things, and but eventually things have been smoothing themselves out. So yeah, it's going good.
Really. I know Southwest
slowly
Airlines
slowly getting back to normal.
Southwest Airlines was trending because they canceled like 1,000 flights in a day or something like that over like the mandate thing, and just, I guess, just unruly passengers. And I'm like, isn't that the airplanes that went missing? They never found those people. Like, they're just an airplane out there that they just lost. And I'm like, man, imagine being on an airplane and then it just go missing, and then you're stuck on an island or something like that. You have to build it up from the ground.
Like, yeah, or like Lost. Yeah, that was a great TV show. That was.
There was a guy on an airplane that took a picture of the big guy from Lost and was like, I think my plane's in trouble. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that would be the scariest thing to be going down in a plane accident.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I used to love that TV show Lost. That was a bit like Twin Peaks, you know. It's one of the only, I don't know if you remember Twin Peaks.
I haven't seen Lost or Twin Peaks.
Oh, you've never seen it, right? You've got to get the box sets, and you've got.
Well, look,
got to,
if I want to travel, I'm not going to watch a show based in plane crashes. Like, even when a movie has it, I'm walking out of the movie theater at that point. Like, I can't stand that.
Yeah, it was good. It was all about this plane crashes on this like weird island, and took them six series to work out what was going on, and loads of them died. But some of them come back to life, and yeah, but it was great. It was really good.
Have you noticed the shift in TV? And this kind of relates a little bit to, like, for instance, like the Freemason thing. Like, do you notice the secret stuff that's going on now? Like, everything has like a secret plot line or twist to it. Like, there's that one that everyone's raving about called Squid Games, and it sounds like a complete mind bender. Like, the guy who made the Black Mirror TV show, he stopped making the show because the world had gotten too insane, where it was difficult to create episodes because it was a lot like the show he was creating. And I'm like, do you notice the secretivity or these types of ideas in movies now that are kind of like a mind bender? Like, I think the one that paved the way was like Inception. Inception had you like, what? And then like everything now happens to do with time. Everything happens to do with some type of mind bending reality, where I'm like, are we going back to, like, I don't even know, like some type of like secret society style stuff? It's pretty insane.
Yeah. That's all really fashionable, isn't it? Yeah. The symbols and all the weird stuff and secret stuff, and yeah, it's a bit like going back to Twin Peaks. I mean, that was really, for me, the big changer, the big TV show that changed television, really, you know. And that at the Black Lodge, and there was all kinds of weird stuff going on, and time stuff and mystery, and lots of weird stuff, symbols, magic stuff. Yeah,
well, it's just secret stuff, like what do you call it, like when you have a black card for a restaurant and they're like, oh, you're a black card member, you get to sit in the back. So I'm like, that's what everyone wants. They just want that like status that everyone has, but they want that extra secret part to it where you feel like you're kind of excluded from the rest of the people. You get this secret backdoor entrance with this secret entree and these secret meals and all these type of things. I'm like, I get it. That's appealing as hell. If you're able to walk in somewhere, a person kisses your hand, and then you walk into a back room and then never to be seen from again until you're done with your meal. And then you come back out. Everyone's like, where'd you go? You're like, I went up to the attic. You're like, the attic? This is an Olive Garden. Where'd you get an attic? And it's like, oh, it doesn't matter because you have that exclusivity to be able to go into this back room and experience this whole other thing that not a lot of people see. And I think that's kind of like, maybe that started with the trend of secret, food orders or secret menu items, but it's always been ingrained in society. Like if we look at, like, for instance, like joining a club or joining, you know, Freemasonry, for instance, that's a secret thing. And it's different from everybody else. Like we talked about on your first episode of fraternity. That is kind of what that is, but it's a more like just a code of like people that have a different level or different kind of understanding or different experience than everyone else. And I'm like, I think that's what everybody wants. That's why people pay for first class. That's why people want this way of feeling a little bit above or a little bit different than the norm. But everyone doesn't want to feel excluded. That's the weird part to it.
That's right. Yeah. That's it. It's all about the exclusivity of these clubs and these kind of Illuminati things and Masonic, pseudo Masonic clubs and it's all about, you know, you remember and you can get in there and all these secrets can be revealed and. Yeah,
why'd you bring up the Illuminati? Good. You think there's an Illuminati? Come on, that's like my heart. That's my bread and butter, right?
Illuminati.
There.
Yeah, there is. Okay, there is an Illuminati. It's true.
Let's go down that rabbit hole. What exactly is the Illuminati? Because before you say anything, I want to my vision of the Illuminati. For instance, if people are like, Robbie, you're nuts. I'm like, I just think it means you have enough like money to get a seat at the table. You know what I mean? I don't think it's
that's
like.
It. Yeah,
that's what I okay. So, but what? How do you know there's an Illuminati? Because I'm over here just speculating, and people are just like, "You're a conspiracy," and I'm like, "I don't think so, man." I mean, come on. If you have enough money, you want to feel like you're above people. That's why you have servants. That's why you have all these types of things. If you tell me I can walk into a restaurant, I get to knock on a wall three times and spin a painting, or spin the drywall, or pick up a fork, and an open bookcase comes out. You bet your ass I'm going to learn or do whatever I possibly can to be in that exclusive group.
That's it. Well, the Illuminati was originally in the 18th century. It was like a pseudo Masonic rite that was in Bavaria. And it was designed to illuminate its brethren in secret knowledge, you know, kind of part Masonry, part kind of. You know, bit of science, bit of enlightenment going on there. And then that ended with the French Revolution. So that's the real true history bit. But more recently, I think the name, just the name Illuminati, because it is a pretty cool name, the Illuminati, yeah. You know, and that's one thing about it, really. It's just a cool name. And people have somewhere on the line have grabbed hold of that and created a new Illuminati, and they recruit people on the internet and they give people fancy certificates and things and a book. I was reading the book, actually. I got a free copy of it and I was reading it and it's all about this. They reckon they've got the headquarters on some little island in the Atlantic somewhere. And this is where they have the secret meetings and there's different levels of Illuminati. And they've infiltrated, the politicians and the celebrities and things like that. And it's a great read, you know.
I hope you're not fucking with me, dude, because you don't know how many times I've said this and people have looked at me like I'm nuts. And I'm like, I don't think it's that nuts, though. Like, I mean, there's mysterious stuff that happens all the time. I'm not talking about like Bermuda Triangle, like mysterious. I'm just talking about like a bunch of people that want to feel better than other people. And they have elite status in so many ways. I don't know if it's going to be so big as running the whole world. Maybe that's the deep end of it. But I mean, secret club members, secret whatever styles and all these types of things, these are very appealing to a lot of people. They're appealing to me. I mean, nobody knew about the Epstein stuff until the Epstein stuff came out. Now, how deep do these horrors go? I don't know. But that idea that like the Illuminati, I don't think it's this type of like, it's just very weird because everyone wants to relate it to politics and it might have a play in politics or it might have a more obvious advantage or type of visual optics in politics. But I think it's just maybe it's science, maybe it's research, maybe it's swaying opinions or putting whatever you want onto the media. I mean, there's always that picture you see of one person and he's holding a string and it's attached to all these news reporters' heads. And it's like he can change it and move it to the direction he wants to go. Well, I mean, that would explain a lot of why when I'm looking at CNN or Fox at the same exact time, right side by side, they're talking about the exact same topics, but they're spinning it in different ways. It's like the same way to get the message across, but an easier way is just to spin it and get both sides. Let's say one person doesn't like CNN. Well, Fox looks appealing because they're saying the same thing, just in a different way. And I'm like, maybe it's that. Or maybe it's like when I go to a water park and they're like, front of the line, sir, you got a wristband. That could be it too. I don't know. But there's a lot of unexplainable stuff where I start to look at people with power, for instance, like the most common I could give you is Scientology. So through talking with a lot of ex-Scientology people and people who expose Scientology, a lot of their strategies is government-based strategies, which is trying to deflame your character and make everyone think that you're crazy so no one will listen to the real words that you're saying because you found out a secret. Now, this is a method that can be used in the Illuminati-style thing. If you go against the norm or you go against the group, you're not invited to the group, and they make you a cast out. They make you look insane. Now, how far does their power go, though? Because then we start looking at people like Alex Jones. Even though he got some things wrong, he has gotten a lot right, but nobody's going to listen to the things he got right because he's already been ruined in the eyes of the media, and there's already a perpetual word out there where there's not even a point in trying to kill the guy if he is right because nobody's going to listen to him anyway. And that's what I start getting a little bit conspiratorial in, is because I look at it like, damn it, we're all children, and this thing is like a chess game, and we're like sitting up at the table like, I want to move this one. You're like, that's your queen. You never want to expose your queen. It's like, does it matter? It's a pretty one. And then we just move the piece up on the board, and next, you know, done.
Yeah. Well, this is it. It's, I think the world's gone crazy myself. It's gone. Do you think the world has gone downhill over the past few years? You know, do you think there's things that have, you know, like a things have had a knock-on effect, and think lifestyle is going downhill? Do you think, do you get that feeling that things are going worse?
I don't know. It's definitely going worse, but I don't know if it's the times, but I think if this is an outside influence that somehow snuck its way in. I've studied a lot about the CCP, the Chinese government, and a lot of outside influences when it comes to Russian troll farms and, you know, types of things to bring up animosity, where there's an old interview I played on this podcast already called, it's episode 938. It's called Father of the Year, but there's a ex-KGB agent who talked about a 20-year process of bringing up animosity within a nation to destroy it from the inside. And that's a lot of what he talked about. And the video came out in 1984. So you start looking at that 20, almost 30 years now, where he talked about a 20-year process of this animosity that gets built up to where you start decentralizing and destroying your whole entire country because you stop loving it. And that's kind of what's happening in the States in a lot of ways. And now we're starting to see that a little bit in the UK, you know, with people throwing apples or whatever at their politician. And you start to look at this concept of like, maybe this is an outside influence, or maybe someone found a way to make their life easier by cutting corners or messing up a system or rigging it in a certain way, which leads back to the Illuminati thing, which is why all these people are suffering, is because these people that are having an easier life, they don't care about your happiness because they don't know you. If I would have just saw your Twitter page before the very first time we talked and I never got to know who you are, you know that you're a father, I wouldn't have cared if you would have, whatever, if I would have hurt you by making my life easier. But that's the concept of communication and connection. And you start to notice these types of things. And then people just go, that's crazy. That can't happen like that. I'm like, but it's happened for ages. It's not like this is anything new. Everyone does this. And this has happened for thousands of years.
Yeah. I think since 9/11, definitely things have gotten more difficult, become more difficult for people, you know, for travel and things like that, obviously. And, you know, and then we had the banking crisis, 2008, something like that. And then obviously more recently, you know, we've just had this complete erosion of the middle class in both we're getting political now, but in both the US and the UK, you know, and you know, there's been the kind of winding down of industry as well, and jobs seem to be just disintegrating, you know, and now we've got the COVID thing. You know, it's all very kind of you know, just seems to be going, oof, you know, like that to me. And I think people start to look at these secret societies and you know, they want someone to blame. So this is where you get all the conspiracy stuff and you know, obviously, you know, we've had the there's a lot of COVID stuff.
We're high. That's what it is. We're high. Because here's my rationale for this. When I smoked weed, like through my high school years or whatever, and I would get high, I would find myself in situations I shouldn't be in. That could be sketchy situations, sure, but more like I wasn't supposed to witness what just happened. Like I would be walking down the street, and then I remember a girl getting out of her house and just screaming at her boyfriend and throwing stuff, and they're fighting in the middle of the street, and it's just me there, and it's the middle of the night. I should not have been out there, and I probably wouldn't have been if I wasn't high. And I was in the middle of the street, like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. I'm just watching this happen. The guy looks over and goes, fuck you looking at? And I'm high as shit. Maybe that's just a wrong situation that I was put in. But you start to notice things like more detail, for instance, when you're high. And I think this is what happened is that everyone in the world today is trying to, like, with not just with the amount of exposure that goes on, but everyone's trying to find an answer to this isn't their fault. This isn't them. This is something else. And they start looking at like the odd, like if you look at a building, for instance, a building from like the 19th century, you look at the stone and the moss that goes up the side of the stone. You're like, it's beautiful. But if you really examine it in crucial detail, you'll start to notice its flaws. This is what everyone's starting to do now. They're noticing flaws and they're trying to find someone to blame. And this is why we see all the stuff about secret societies come out, like George Bush's father stealing Geronimo's head when he was in the Skull and Bones Society. You're like, what the hell is that? You start to see.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, well,
is that true?
Yeah. But you start to notice these types of things. And I think that's what happened with Bohemian Grove was everyone's like, what is going on? It's like, now you're kind of boiling the layers back and you're getting to the core of the onion where you're noticing these things that just worked in the backdrop for so long that might not have the impact into your life as you think they do, but you're going to blame them as this because now you have some a straw man to burn, literally and metaphorically, literally as in Bohemian Grove, all those politicians that were burning a straw man and wearing capes and cloaks and shit and sacrificing this statue to sacrificing this burning wood effigy to a statue of Moloch, the owl god. Now, that's some scary shit. But I think that's just that. I don't think it's what people thought it was. It led to a QAnon movement. I was like, I think every little issue that's going on is we're starting to really, really scrub through the layers and like just find everything like this. All right, well, here's one part of the rope. There has to be more. And then you keep going down the rabbit hole and you're picking up things that might necessarily not link to the issue that you're in. And that's when you start, I guarantee you, in a year from now, Freemasons, I'm calling it here, are going to be on the chopping block. There's going to be people that are going to be trying to expose the shit out of them because they think you're doing some type of dark magic. Necessarily, you might not be doing that, but people just, even when I say, you know what Freemasons are, people go, some weird fucking, they don't know unless you're in it. And I think that's going to cause them to be like, why don't we know what's going on in there? Why isn't this open information to the public? And they'll come at you with pitchforks and torches like they've done throughout history.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, they're doing that now. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, reports and articles. And I mean, I get hit by messages all the time on social media about Masonry and magic and you know, people link it to Satanism and all kinds of stuff, you know. And I've blocked so many people. I was talking to a guy called Dr. Robert Lomas, who's also a Freemason and he's also a writer, an author. And I was saying, you know, is it me? Is it just me? He said, oh no, I get tons of messages like that. Anyway, you know, I get loads as well, you know. And it's just one of those things. I think people don't understand it. They're looking for, as you say, they're looking for someone to blame. They're looking for someone to expose. Going back to Bohemian Grove, wasn't that what Alex Jones was famous for originally? didn't he sneak in and film it?
Yeah, well, he's famous for a lot of stuff, but that was his. Yeah, he filmed it, and nobody knew that was going on. Even when I talked to people, yeah. I'm surprised you know what that
is. Original thing, wasn't it? That was one of his early kind of exposures, you know, and he got a lot of mileage from that, didn't he? I believe.
I'm surprised you know what that is. A lot of people from the UK have no clue what that is, and I'm like, I don't know if this is. Obviously, we all have information on everybody's, you know, locations or countries. America's a little bit more exposed than everybody else, but now we're starting to see that clock turn a little bit. I mean, now everywhere on our news down here, besides the missing influencer, is we're seeing Brexit or not Brexit stuff. We're seeing UK stuff. We're seeing, you know, what you guys are doing over there. I'm like, why are we seeing this over here? And it's like, now I'm starting to get the view of how every other country has seen America. We've always been the headline. And I think it's because we've exposed a lot of stuff, but I don't know if people are in a state of like lull right now, where they're kind of like, I'm kind of tired of, you know, trying to dispute or fight with my country, and there's bigger issues like Afghanistan or other things that are going on. And I'm like, I like the secret messaging stuff. It's like the little Annie decoder pin people used to listen to the radio and fucking twist it around and try and get the secret message. I'm like, I like trying to find out the mysteries of things, but like, I think it's not how it used to be. And I think people are treating it how it used to be, not like necessarily people involved in it, but just people that are coming from an outside perspective. Now, I've always joked that the Freemasonry was like a cult thing, but I knew realistically, it's more of a fraternity of brothers. A lot of the people in our fire department are involved in there. It's more about just being in a secret group like bowling night, for instance. But people want to look at it like they're summoning demons, or they're summoning spells, or they're doing some type of thing that's causing me to lose money out of my bank account. I'm like, no, those are called bills. And that's the real creepy, dark stuff that we need to pay attention to, is how much they're able to raise the gas price to $3.19 when it used to be $2.85 or something like that. And everyone stirred up something for a day or two. And then what? Now we're just okay with paying it. We don't have any effect to this. You start to realize, like, you let the power shift out of the people's hands. And that's kind of where we start getting into the dark realms and territories, where we enter Illuminati style things, maybe not shrouded cloaked people, but more like a government that has a totality of power, much like we look at the China regime or the North Korean regime.
Well, that's it. What people forget is the power of the corporations as well. You know, they have the politicians in the pocket. And it's the same with the UK, where, you know, they're throwing money at the politicians, but they want something back in return. So really, it's all these kind of corporations, you know, these billionaire guys at the top that run these corporations that want to get off paying the taxes and want special deals. And obviously, groups like Freemasons, whatever, you know, the Odd Fellows, whatever, they're just kind of scapegoats, if you like, you know. Oh yeah, it's them dodgy Freemasons that are doing it.
It's the wealth class people. You'll truly start to see change happen when you start seeing the people that used to be living in mansions starting to downsize their homes and pay more money. This idea of tax the rich isn't bad, but it was coming from the wrong mouth. It was coming from the wrong person that was wearing a dress at a thing, AOC. Now, despite how people feel about her, whatever, I don't feel too, I don't really like her that much, but it's coming out of the wrong funnel. You need people, more people. You need a group of people to be able to do these style of things. This is why it was so hard to get to some of these movements. Some of these movements talking about like Black Lives Matter, all these types of things. The guy made $4.3 billion off of that protest movement. The guy lives in a mansion, the starter of that. You start realizing it's like defund the police, because everyone's got a weird optics of how the police are. I know plenty of good cops. I've had a gun waved in my face too. But you look at the concept of what we don't have a really good, like, actual through and through coded really rise of people. It's always groups and groups and groups. And I'm like, where's the overall consumption of people when you start realizing that people are getting away with fucking you in the ass? Like, I'm sorry to use the language in that terms, but I didn't think this topic was going to go this way either. I thought we were going to talk about mysterious shit, but it upsets me. Like, the politics stuff, the reason why I'm so consumed in it is because I don't let it upset me where it ruins my life. I still go live my life. But I like talking about this because you start really using an observational perspective. And especially for yourself, for instance, being involved in the Freemasonry, you can see the weird kind of group cult shit that goes on in just the world's politics, where you're like, that's really fucking like weird that that is going on that way. Why are people acting that to that? You start to connect the dots a little bit. And it's just so crazy because it's the first time I think a lot of people are aware to it. Because like I said, it's like you're being stoned. You're examining the chalk in the, or the chip in the sidewalk that you don't care about.
That's right. Now, well, this is it. I mean, you've got all these groups that pop up in England. You had at the same time as what was going on in the States last year, last summer, I think it was, wasn't it? You know, you had the Black Lives Matter. Over here, you had Topple the Racist. I don't know if you've heard of those. I think you had a similar group over in the States where they were pulling down the statues and things. You know, the Confederate statues were all coming down. Over here, you know, they were targeting statues, you know, old slave owners and or people that were connected to the slave trade. These are back in the 18th century. These statues have been up for over 100 years, you know. And around where I live, this is my kind of personal story of it. We got wind, myself and a group of other historians, like locally, that they were going to pull down a statue of Oliver Cromwell in Warrington. They were doing a Black Lives Matter march.
I just want to say that guy made $3.2 million in the U.S. alone. And that was after buying his estate and binging on four high-end homes. So I had to look that up to make sure I got
that
right.
So he's the leader. He was the guy that started the movie.
He's the guy that created it.
Oh, right. So yeah, they were going to pull down this statue, this Oliver Cromwell statue. This is last summer, 2020. And so there was this Black Lives Matter march. There was and embedded in this march was Topple the Statue group or whatever, Topple the Racist, they were called, I think. They have a website, or they did have. And they're going to pull down this Oliver Cromwell statue. Now, Oliver Cromwell was a guy that he was actually against slavery. I mean, he cancelled the Royal Charter that allowed slavery, basically the slave trade. So why they were going to pull down the statue of Oliver Cromwell, I really don't know. So all these local historians were kind of in contact with each other, and they said, right, well, let's form a ring around this Oliver Cromwell statue. So it was happening on a Saturday, apparently. By the time I went down there, I'd missed it was all over. But the statue was completely bypassed. And I think one of the reasons why was because a load of these right-wing guys, kind of like Brexiteer type guys, were also surrounding like an epitaph statue, like World War One, World War Two commemorative area. So the Black Lives Matter march, I think, got completely dispersed and nothing happened. Well, it was quite strange that I met a group of the historians there that were still hanging around, and they were kind of getting friendly with these right wing guys, you know, these Brexiteers, and so it was all a bit of a mishmash and a bit strange. And anyway, the Oliver Cromwell statue is still standing. That's still there.
Well, we have a lot of strawmen. We have a lot of strawmen right now, like people that we can burn down and people we can attack, but we don't have any saviors, because with every devil, there's a Jesus, and everyone needs that one Jesus that pulls them out of the fire and brings them to this thing of sanctity. And then they'll build a statue after him, and that'll be the leader of whoever that was. But I feel like, why don't we try a change and just make everyone the savior? Why don't we make everyone, every little bit, every person? It's not one person that gets a movement done. It's the groups that they form. It's the people that they lead into these charges and battles that, you know, it's the troops. It's all these types of situations that are created amongst the people. Not just one person, but one person has to be remembered, or one person has to be the main frontier of this thing, even though the people are doing all of the work. And I look at it like, if you don't understand government tactics or you don't understand manipulation or secret methods of warfare or whatever you want to call it, just look up agent of provocateurs. Those are people that are hired to go into a situation, cause up animosity and disturbance so the government can step in. Same thing that happened with these Black Lives Matter protests I've talked about a couple of times. The guy with the yellow umbrella that was just walking by and hitting shop windows with a hammer. And everyone's like, what are you doing? The reporter's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Person didn't even answer, kept on going. Because you've opened up the door to chaos and they're waiting for you to get violent so they can step in. That's a factor of it. Maybe it's a factor of why did the John Lennon or the Jimi Hendrix statue, why did those two musician statues get spray painted and beaten or kind of torn apart a little bit? Because you've opened up the door for chaos and now everyone wants to partake in chaos. It's like the purge. They let you do it one night a year, then everyone gets to experience that. You notice how it's the wealthy people that want to isolate themselves from everybody because they have the money to be able to do so. And the people that don't have the money to do so have to either get involved or get out of the fucking way. It's this weird kind of like strategical thing. And I start to notice that, like, I don't think it was intended to cause all this, but I think they don't really care, higher elites, whatever, wealth, corporate elites, whatever you want to call it, because they have money to be able to make sure that they don't ever get to see this type of stuff. You know what I mean? It's start to look at like they're not at the ground level. It's like
we live in a bubble, don't we? Yeah, it's, they're not kind of even connected to this, you know.
But isn't that fascinating to you that you can, like, I'm so glad we're talking about this. I don't know if you're just entertaining me, but I'm looking at this like every time I try and talk about something like this, there's people that go, you're a conspiracy person. I'm like, is it that crazy to think that someone is going to manipulate your mind to be able to get something that they want across? How many times has that happened in the world? How many movies have we seen where a guy tells a girl she's beautiful, that she's going to marry her, he's going to do all these types of things, and then ends up leaving after they slept together? It happens. So, and that's not an example for people to be like, oh, that's why men are bad. No, it happens the other way too. You get what you want out of something and then you go on forward. The same reason why the only reason to do like a podcast of mine for the first time without knowing me is to promote something. And then you end up developing a relationship and it goes from there. But you need something. You need, and so everyone needs something. I need something. You need something. We all fucking need something from somebody. And I'm like, God, I don't know how to shift that.
That's true. yeah, that's very true. Going back to the statue thing, it crosses over to Freemasonry, the attacked, pulled down the Albert Pike statue in DC. You probably saw the pictures of that, spray painted it, pulled it down. And I mean, he was connected to the Confederacy at you know, some stage in his life during the Civil War, but he kind of moved on from that, and I think he probably regretted that in a way, because he was he assisted in Prince Hall Masonry, you know, he'd moved on, but he still was, the statue was still a target because obviously his Confederacy connections. But yeah, they pulled that down, spray painted it and everything. But I think it's now on display within the temple itself, the Scottish Rite Temple. So it's, they've moved it inside rather than outside, you know, where it was. But yeah, you know, that was an easy target, really, you know, because it wasn't just a Confederacy commander at some point, but he was also a Freemason, you know, so that was a double whammy for Albert Pike, really.
Well, it's like everyone's scared about China and the States a lot because they're like, what's going to happen over there? I was like, everyone should really be scared a little bit. They kind of dominate the market in a certain way, but to be able to shift the power, because somehow for our country, your country, everybody's country that goes and tries to trade with China, they've kind of locked down the market where we need their goods and we're more than willing to pay, no matter if they jack up the price, because we've become addicted to their services, or we became addicted to their materials that they make for us. Yeah. The only way
closed our factories down, you know, and gave everything to China and so everything's produced there with the original idea. Oh yeah, be dead cheap from China. Ah, great stuff. But it doesn't take a genius to work out, well, yeah, but they've got control of the market now, you know. So eventually, you know, they could up the prices and you know, kind of we're in the situation where it's going now, you know.
Well, the multiple route ways that we could take is that we build our own factories and do as much as it possibly takes to get that going to where we can be more sustainable as our own countries and not have to worry about another ones, which any country I would think logically would be able to do. But the only other thing I can see is that if everyone just, if they get too much exposure, I mean, there's so many cases that happen over there of just the worst possible conditions that are against the human ethical code. And it's not putting blame on China. That's just how that, that's how their government works. It's not the people there, it's the government. Because in a lot of ways, China's better than the States. I've heard, or North Korea, for instance, as horrible stuff that happens over there, I've heard too many defectors talk about how if somebody's getting mugged in the streets, everyone will come up and break apart the mugging. They'll stand by you because they don't let that happen. They don't let the people abuse the people. They understand the abuse from the government, but they never fight amongst each other and that sort. They don't have the time or effort to be able to do so. And over here, it happens constantly. People are constantly getting robbed. You know, it happens in the UK as well, too. It happens everywhere. I think the easiest thing that you can do, a route way to take, is to expose all the horrible human ethical things that happen over there and then just refuse to trade. So eventually, they're going to look for any price just to be able to get some money out of some stuff that they've created. But we've let them jack it up and jack it up and jack it up. And it's crazy because I don't want to push the blame on them, but I also think with that Yuri video where he talks about the explosional tactics, manipulational tactics of the KGB that they use, which is a 20-year process, you start going, fuck, man, maybe this is a chain of effects that are happening to the world where maybe this chaos is caused by our own governments, but also by other governments as well, too. And it's like nobody really cared about our mental well-being. If they're not physically abusing us, sure. But if they can mentally abuse us, that's something completely different.
Mm. Which reminds me, I was watching this great documentary, right, a couple of days ago, and you've probably heard about this. I'm sure You've discussed this before on one of your podcasts, because I did listen to a few of your podcasts. But it was basically the CIA, right? And they were heavily involved in the 1970s and 1980s in a project called Remote Viewing. Have you heard about it?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's it's off the movie Men Who Stare at Goats with George Clooney.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm sure you discussed it sometime in one of your podcasts.
Just recently, too.
Yeah, yeah. And it was fascinating because it's true. It's true what, you know, what happened, what they did, the amount of money that they pumped into this remote viewing. There was a guy from New York, I've forgotten his name now. Indigo something or other. Indigo Swan. I might have got the name wrong, but he was like an artist, and he was one of their best subjects at this remote viewing, and he was with the program for a while. It's a fascinating documentary, really is, you know. And so yeah, even the CIA, you know, they've kind of nurtured and developed this culture of kind of alternative kind of magic programs, you know. It's amazing. So I was watching that for a while, you know, and skipping through YouTube, checking out different documentaries on it and things like that. It was great.
There's a Joe Rogan podcast you should probably watch. I'll have to send it to you afterwards, but it's with Mike Baker. He's an ex-CIA agent. And this is where like a lot of this stuff, like the Yuri video, came into play. He started talking about that, but he was talking about like the link of it with the UFOs and all this type of stuff. Now, this could be government tech, you know. Nope, they don't just, if that would have popped up in the 1940s when the first UFO or first thing ever happened, they don't just stop researching a national threat of that sort. They keep doing it. And the fact that the government hasn't came out about a team that's specifically designed to watch these things, there's no giant exposure of a space force, or not the NASA one, but a different one, like an actual alien Men in Black style thing, there's no talk about that. people go, well, this is a new thing. Well, no, this has been, they had to keep researching into it. They never just stop doing something. Russia just picked back up their fucking Psychological Warriors project, which led into the remote viewing and stuff like that. We had CIA agents find out that they were studying using psychological warriors to drop into battles. And then we started doing it. And that's what created the movie Men Who Stare at Goats. That's what had that whole entire
that's
experiment.
Right. That's right.
We the shut it down. Was yeah. yeah, well, we it shut was... it down because it was ridiculous. And then now they're picking it back up where we go, maybe we should start picking it back up because there's this whole idea of psychic things that are now entering the world again, where people are like, maybe psychics are more normal. Maybe it's 5G. I have no clue. But you start to look at these examinations of maybe it's wrong information. Maybe we're going off information right now, not me and you, but the world is going off information that could be wrong. And we've just been going on it so much since to where when you see the clear visage, you start to get like Alex Jones, for instance, talked about chimeras, these like sheep goat hybrid things. Fucking China, I think, cloned their first goat or whatever, their first chimera in like, what, 1994 or something like that? Do you think they just stopped cloning? Do you think that that's anything? If the States would have cloned something, you think they just stop after one? Really? They're going to keep going and try and perfect that machine. You start to look at like the things that they tell you. If you gloss back over it, you're like, you didn't just fucking stop. Even Mike Baker from the CIA goes, you think they just stopped doing something like that? They keep going, but you don't ever hear about it. And I'm like, that's coming from a guy who works in the CIA and right now is working for the NSA. So I'm like, hey, man, maybe that guy's giving us misinformation to go down a wrong rabbit hole. But I've never seen misinformation that exposes the government in that way. And that man does not like Edward Snowden. And Snowden's the one that exposed all this social dilemma stuff where the documentary came out showing that they track you using your data and they sell your data. This whole AI generation that we're entering in is really going to fuck with a lot of people. Like, I don't think people realize how dangerous this is getting. And maybe I'm kind of scared on the aspect, and this is why I'm all hysteric. But I look at a concept like when the internet went down, or not internet, Facebook and Instagram went down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Last week. Yeah.
Did that not scare the shit out of a lot of people? Like, man, how many people do I talk to on social media? I don't have their phone number, so I have no way to contact them. Guess I better wait for it to come back on. You start to realize you've let this delicacy become a requirement into your life, where now, you know, if you don't have those people's numbers, you lost contact with them. You might know their address to send them a letter, but you don't have their phone numbers. You have their social media That's profile.
Right. That's right. Money me back. Back in the day, back in my day, when we used to go to nightclubs, pubs and nightclubs in the late 80s, 90s, you know, before the internet, before Facebook, before social media, you met a girl in a nightclub, you know, she'd scribble a number down in lipstick on a beer mat. I don't know if you have beer mats in the state, you know, those little cardboard things.
Coasters,
where you put
yeah.
the pipe down. And or whatever you could get, you know, or sometimes she'd put a number down on your arm, you know. Your phone number, and you'd get smudged in the morning. Oh no, she was gorgeous, that girl.
I lost the last four digits.
Yeah. But I mean, it was hard work, because even if you did remember the number, or you did get the number, and you phoned her up, it was the landline number. So you know, you can guarantee that her dad was going to pick it up. You know, so you had to navigate through that. And but. Kids these days have got it great, you know. It's like, oh yeah, I'm on Facebook. Oh yeah, yeah, you know. And yeah, it reminded me of that, because I keep in contact with people from around the world, you know, selling books and things, and you know, I know people in various different countries, and we're always having a chat, whatever, you know. And then when Facebook went and Instagram went down, you know, that was it, you know. Messenger had gone, so you couldn't get in touch with these people. And it was like, oh yeah, you know, it's like, it reminded me of the old days where you had to phone people up on the landline, and you know, it's crazy. But it just goes to show how dependent we are on Facebook.
It's,
you know,
cult programming. That's what it is. Yeah. It's being in a hive mind and thinking all along the same basis, to where you just say yes or no, depending on whatever option is tossed your way. Do you want the chicken or do you want the fish? Well, I don't really want chicken or fish. Well, that's all we got, so you have to pick one. Well, then I just won't eat, or I'll get peanuts. You know, I was listening because there's always a trending hashtag about Alex Jones was right. And I'm like, okay, so I had to listen back to some of his older stuff, like stuff that happened like 3 years ago. He talked about AI gods. Now we see Mark Zuckerberg that's on trial or all these types of things. Now, I don't know about that one yet because there's a random lady that popped out of nowhere that's exposing as a Facebook whistleblower. She's already verified with a blue check and has like 70,000 followers.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
So there's the C-230, which is this type of bill that it kind of like limits their whatever companies can do to extort your data. Now, Mark Zuckerberg is pro this thing, and this thing is supposed to put lockdowns on big tech. If you actually look into the C-230, whatever it's called, you don't want that. Everyone's like, yes, this will stop tech from taking our data. No, it limits it to only a few companies, giant corporations that can be able to do whatever the hell they want with your data. So now it's taking, instead of a bunch of individual companies getting bits and pieces of your data, you're now leaving it to the big ones to grab all of it. And that's kind of the scary thing is that this movement, this person that's seen as like a whistleblower, this person that's like, yes, it's just the word whistleblower. I got fucking sucked into too until some person exposed it. I'll have to look up the tweet that I saw that I had to fucking send to somebody. But it came out of nowhere where I was like, yeah, that word whistleblower. Whenever you hear that, you go, this is a person exposing a company of something bad that they did. But no, maybe you could just put that in the words of something to maybe somehow get it something passed. Like it says right here, this person put up, fascinating that the Facebook whistleblower automatically receives a verification for her just created Twitter account, as well as a nice algorithmic promotion boost to go along with the PR tour her handlers are orchestrating. Beware of officially sanctioned whistleblowers. So these are people that are accepted by the government to just be these whistleblower accounts that are exposing you to wrong information, exposing you and manipulating your mind to be able to pass something that you necessarily aren't looking into and you don't know if you want that passed. This is very good for Mark Zuckerberg. And a lot of people are like, he's a devil. He looks like a reptile. True. But this is scary where, like, I go back to the Alex Jones thing. He said that beware AI created gods. Think of that word, AI created gods. When you create an algorithm for what, let's say you own Facebook, okay? Now you decide what gets to be on your platform since it's yours. It's your right to be able to do so. But now we have to show you what you, let's say you don't want anybody bullying any people online. So we'll type this into the algorithm. What keywords do you want in there? Well, I like this politician. I don't like the other one. So anybody that says anything bad about my politician, I don't want on my site, but you can delete the other guy off of it. Okay, we'll type that into the algorithm. Now this thing is an exact replica of your mind and what your bias is. And it starts to grow. Because an algorithm constantly evolves and constantly keeps changing to where it doesn't know the limits and the boundary keeps going to where you start seeing suppression happen that necessarily might not need suppression in that area. And this is where it starts to get dangerous with censorship and all these ideas where now wrong information is allowed to be out there. Her whole Facebook whistleblower thing is that Facebook was showing you videos of things that incited more violence. When I watch animals in nature's fighting each other. I didn't know a horse could beat a crocodile. That's fucking nuts. I've seen way too many videos of a horse beating up a crocodile. But
a horse beating up a crocodile.
Yeah, it stomps on its head. And I don't know if you've ever seen a horse kick before, but that thing can crack open a skull and it can crack open a crocodile's face too. This crocodile is limping off. This horse just starts stomping on its head. But that one linked me into another video about this and another video. Next thing you know, after like four or five videos, I watched a woman crawl on a giant rock in front of a bunch of alligators in the water below and she fell and went right in there and crocodiles teared her apart. It went from a horse killing a crocodile to a crocodile killing a human to some shit I'm not even going to mention on this show because I'm surprised I sat and watched it. And that's what these algorithms do. They want you to stay hooked onto the device so the people running it get more money, but they don't know the necessary dangers of what your kids are going to be viewing and what's going to distort your perception of your reality to be.
That's right. Well, one of the guys that's now in charge of Facebook. I'm not sure about his full job description, but he's a media guy, and he's a guy called Nick Clegg, who was an English politician. And he was deputy prime minister from 2010 to about 2015, I think it was. And he was a Liberal Democrat, and he joined the Tories in a coalition in 2010. And he basically lied to his followers, saying, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna if you vote for me, I'll get rid of student debt. You know, I'll get rid of the student loan and yeah, you know." But he didn't do it, you know. And he had to apologize to his supporters for not doing it when he got in power. And no surprises, he got completely voted out in 2015 and wandered into the political wilderness, but then came back as some kind of heavy force in Facebook. So if you look him up on Google, Nick Clegg, his name is. I'm not sure about his job description with Facebook, but you do see him lurking behind Zuckerberg sometimes, you know, in media reports and things like that. He's some kind of advisor, I think, or some kind of media guy in regards to Facebook. But
if you're ahead, or if you're trying to get power, or you want power, what is the best thing to do once you have power? What's the best thing to do? You become friends with people that are in the eyes of the public, and those people that are eyes of the public. Why was I watching Matthew McConaughey announce his unofficial running for presidency or something like that? You think everyone's going to be like, I'm not going to have the guy from Fast Times at Ridgemont High on my fucking president ballot. Like, nobody wants that, but people do because they like him in the movies. It might not mean you like him as a person, you know what I mean? Or his views on things. He might have some dumb fucking views. And you start to realize, like, it's coming into that movie Idiocracy with Terry Crews, man. And it's fucking nuts, dude. And I don't know. I don't think it's our fault. I think it's a multitude of factors. I think we've somehow just neglected the basic functions, because the easiest thing for a society to do is, if it's too hard to live, you're going to be focused on just trying to keep your head afloat from water. I guarantee you right now, take a poll in your neighborhood or take a poll in your state and just ask, what's on your mind? Like, what do you do? I'm just trying to keep my head above water, man. That's the
bills.
Yeah, that's the response you'll get. So you stop caring about these types of government stuff, because there's two types of people. There's people that want to be left the fuck alone, and people that won't leave them the fuck alone. The people that won't leave them the fuck alone might have an easier lifestyle to where they can focus in on this type of stuff and they get sucked in. But then the people that don't want to deal with it, they just want to be like, I don't want to deal with it. I just want to go home and, you know, pay my bills and make sure I can survive for my family. Because they've made your life so hard. They've made the world so difficult. So you can't focus in on all their fucking blemishes that they have. That's why I say you're high. It's because you're starting to kind of see this type of shit that's going on, because you're trying to find every crack to show that life isn't shit. And it's not. But they don't let you see that, man. And it's very, very hard unless you're really looking with a magnifying glass.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like there's always one crisis following another now, you know. I mean, you know, COVID and then over in the UK, we've now got the kind of follow on from Brexit, a lack of truck drivers. So there's the shortages of food, in the supermarkets and things like that. You go to the local pub and or the restaurant, and they've got things off the menu because they've not got deliveries coming in. And so there's always like one crisis after another, you know, and there's always something going on, you know, to keep people kind of occupied.
Keeps you busy.
Yeah, well, this is it, you know, and in the midst of all that, you know, you just want to kind of go to work, earn the cash, pay the bills, you know, put food on the table for the kids and make sure everything's all right there and carry on as best you can, maybe sneak a holiday in if you can, you know, and that's all what people want to do, you know. They want to live the life to the best they can, but amongst all that, there's all this crap going on, you know, constant kind of stuff hitting you with something else. As soon as something else is finished, something else, you know, and yeah, it's crazy. crazy.
It has to get over the hump of when you see another country suffering or you see another group of people, it doesn't matter if it's race, gender, whatever, suffering. You stop thinking of it as like, damn, those people are suffering. You should start looking at it like that's going to come for me if you're that. If people, which people are selfish, you got to start looking at it, that's going to come for you. That's going to end up hurting you as well, too. You're going to be in the same group as those people. Okay, so you know how you do this? You start giving a shit. When you see one person going through trouble, instead of thinking selfishly to protect your hide, why don't you work on we're all people and we're all trying to survive together? When I see any of these groups or any of these acts go on, how many people support these people? But they're only doing it for the optics of how it looks. I'll see a person tweet something or retweet an article like, this is horrible. What are you fucking doing to stop it? What are you doing? Are you worried about it? Me talking about this, am I doing anything to expose my government? I try and use my cell phone as less as possible. I don't use any of the TikTok or Clubhouse apps. I try and limit my social media presence so I don't get addicted to the thing. Because I also know that they're tracking your data and sending it. And I know these, and I think we all agree, these phones aren't made in the best conditions. They're not made by people that are getting a nice living wage. They're made in horrible conditions. So you know what I can do? I can stay off TikTok. I can stay off Clubhouse that have been known to have China. The reason why TikTok was going to be banned was because their servers steal all your data because it's a China-owned app. That's why we ended up creating a U.S. TikTok app to have our data. But that means if any of you guys use TikTok, we're going to use your data. We're going to steal your information. It's every country's doing it to each other. When people say it's Asian hate or something like this, no, it's every country. It's a power, man. People love fucking power. I don't know where it came from. I've talked to plenty of historians to be like, was there any war like that just didn't happen? There was no wars at a time period? As far as we could track, there's always been people conflicting with other tribes and all these types of things. When did it start? It went somewhere and it was, bring it back to the shady car salesman that sells you a fucking lemon. That guy, the one that's like, I don't give a fuck about you. I'm going to make this money so I can feed my family. It's now seen as a preservation aspect rather than an attack. But to that person that you just sold that crappy car to that breaks down and maybe they get into a car accident, that was an attack from you, which is going to cause them to attack back. Now you got to protect yourself and now you got to attack that person. You start seeing the manipulational tactics, man. And that's what I want to focus on is like, instead of acting out of emotion, think with thought. Just think things through. I've heard perspectives I would have never even thought of, some that I really appreciate. Like when I was talking about, imagine if you're driving to the same toll booth every single day, and then the one day you drive up there, you always have the $3.25 for the toll booth, but then it goes $3.50. And you're like, I don't have an extra quarter. What am I going to do? Well, you can turn around and go right back home and get another quarter. Nah, I'm going to park my car and wait for someone to give me a fucking quarter or you're going to let me through. That perspective, that one, that it was an option I didn't even think of doing because it was going to be so bad and it was going to mess up everyone else's day. That's not a good way. It's an asshole perspective, but it's something different. And it's like, we're always given one or two options, the chicken or the fish, man. And I'm like, fuck, somebody asked for a steak. I don't care. Like I'm at that point where I'm looking at it like, and I use the hysterics for comedy, obviously, because it is a serious topic, but I don't think I'm that crazy where this isn't just, it's not noticeable for a lot of people. And I think it's just because they can never think that this could happen. But how many people thought Bohemian Grove couldn't be a possibility? And then that was a real thing. Like, mm-hmm. I think
that's true. Yeah, that's a real thing. Yeah. This is it. Yeah. It's, it's bizarre, really, if you think about it, you know. But there's things Black like Mirror that episode. They go on all around the world, you know, these kind of like secret kind of get-togethers, and there's so many weird orders, magical orders, and you know, it's crazy. You know, there really is a lot of secret societies and a lot of orders, and Freemasonry, I think, is just the more public one, you know. The one that people are familiar with, but there's many, many different orders.
Is it evil or is it just ease of access? Think it through. It might be evil to us because these people are finding a way to manipulate the system, but how do we get people like Bezos, for instance? He's going to launch William Shatner in space. I'm like, first of all, I thought you had to be like go through specific training and you had to make sure the G forces wouldn't kill you. But this guy's like, fuck it. This would be cool. Everyone likes this. And the media is like, yeah, this is a great story. It gets people's attention because people want to see actors in space.
90 as well.
Yeah.
William Shatner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's going to die. Who's going to pay for that when he dies?
Yeah, he looks good for 90, doesn't he? You know, I mean, he's good on him. He's still going. But yeah, I mean, that's like life imitating art, isn't it? William Shatner going up into space.
It's interesting, but I'm also not one of those people that are like, yes, we're going to see the guy from Star Trek be in space. I'm like, that dude's in his 90s. Something's going to happen. Are we looking at the medical evaluation behind this? Or is it just that much of attention and that much clicks that you're going to be like, we got to bring him into space now. We can't just back away after the doctor said he could have an aneurysm. No, we can't do that. I just look at it like, that's what we talk about where we start entering this facade or this type of what I say is reality television, because that's what politics is. It's fascinating. It's the most fascinating reality television show I've ever seen. And I don't know, I don't know why it's like that, but I guess that's what they get to get views on it. You would expect that the real shit, these hearings that happen, more people would watch. No, they just want to see Biden flub a word. They want to see Trump say something outrageous. They want to see all this type of stuff that gets these views and this attention. But I never see this type of stuff happen when it comes to a hearing. When I ask people, did you watch the Afghanistan hearing? Did you notice what the guy said where he said, now, when we pulled troops out of Afghanistan, did you know that they were going to crash in 11 days? You got a letter saying it was going to crash in 11 days. The guy goes, I never got a letter saying 11 days. He was very specific with 11 days. Now, did he get one for 2 weeks? Maybe he did, but you didn't say that. You said 11 days. People like, they think if you get in the general area, I started learning this from that episode I told you about, I'll send to you, but also from just manipulational tact, like Freedom of Information Act website. It's a free site. It's a government site. You can search up anything and be able to find any information and help them get released or file a hearing to get it released. But you have to be exact in your fucking words, man. You can't be off. If you say that, you know, Robbie talked to David almost a year ago, whatever, on this podcast, you have to know the date. You got to know the time. I got to know what you had for breakfast. I got to know what I had for lunch. I got to know all this stuff that's unnecessary, because they know if you get all those right, you know it's real. So they have to give it to you at that point.
Yeah. Would you consider going off grid at any time? You think?
What I
do, you know,
what?
When people said, oh, I'm going off grid. That's it. I'm going off grid. I'm getting rid of my mobile phone. I'm not. Deleting my internet presence.
I mean, at this point,
cabin in the woods.
If I died, then they could just look at the over 2,000 something, 3,000 something hours of content through my show, and then create an AI from me, basically. But I try my best to not be on it as much as possible. I only really use it for recording days when I have to set up a podcast or something. I hate being on it. But I'm thinking about moving just out west where there's nobody around, and I don't really care. Houses are cheap, but they're like, there's no one out there. I don't fucking talk to people anyway. I just do my thing. I live my life and I try and make sure that I can try and find a sense of balance in this world of chaos, you know? And I think that's important to do too. People want to spend their whole entire lives being a social influencer. I don't have the hours or minutes to be able to consume my life that way. Never. I never want to do that.
I saw one of your podcasts. It was great. It was, some guy wearing a mask, and
oh, that's a while ago. 666.
He does like, yeah. He does like horror reviews and things like that on YouTube. He's got a channel. Oh,
God, I'm gonna. It's Reza. Damn it, I forgot how he pronounces his name. It's Reza or Risa. I think his name is. Sorry if I messed that up, buddy.
He's got this mask on, and he's kind of like well into his horror films and things like this, and. Yeah, it was great, that one. Yeah, and he was like wearing this mask because I don't know if I'm right on this, but obviously he was, you know, trying to stay, you know, keep his anonymity and, you know, but it was great. I thought it was great because he'd obviously got this thing going on YouTube, this channel going, and but no one knew who he was, you know, and it was cool. That was that's nice. There's an artistic quality about that that I liked, really.
That's all I ever wanted out of this thing was to meet new people and also maybe expose some people. And I don't even have that. I mean, I have an okay platform, but it's nothing like a Joe Rogan or something like that. But it's out there. It's a way of giving you the time of day to be able to talk about these types of things. And I think that's what's important. I think there's a lot of people like yourself doing amazing things that need exposure. But what do we always see? The algorithm sets it to see the same thing over and over and over again. If you watch one Matthew McConaughey video, you're getting constant Matthew McConaughey videos. You don't get related to Matthew McConaughey. You just get McConaughey. And I fucking don't want to see that guy anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of like fighting a battle all the time with the algorithms and it's like with YouTube, you know, you need 1,000 followers. But on top of that, you need about 4,000 hours?
You need you need 4,000 hours watched, and then you need to get 1,000 subscribers. I don't have the subscribers, but I have the hours watched. So I'm it's whatever. I think they reset it every year.
Hurdles you've got to get through, and then you've got the algorithms to kind of fight with, and so there's a lot going against you, really. You know, it's.
Well, the way the world works is that once you get success, it's easier to keep obtaining more success. But then the hardest thing is to get to that point where you break through it.
That's right. Yeah. This is it. Yeah. And this is why with Freemasonry, for example, using that as an example, as a model, in my case, when I write books about Freemasonry, my first book that came out, which was about 11 years ago, 12 years ago now, something like that, that just kind of got sneaked onto the bestsellers list, mainly because at that time there was thousands and thousands of Masons that would buy it, you know, that wanted to buy it, and so it was in that group, that contained group. So outside of Freemasonry, you know, I'm not really that well known at all, but within Freemasonry, within that contained group, that model, if you like, it sells quite well, you know. So each book I've had out has sold quite well, but it's within that group. And suppose it's like someone that writes about fly fishing, for example, and they kind of work within the fly fishing group, which is probably smaller, but you know, it's and you do get these kind of contained groups. I've noticed with YouTube. Like, for example, there's the Bigfoot group, for example, people that are into Bigfoot, which is quite a massive group in America, you know, and people do a book on Bigfoot or do a YouTube channel on Bigfoot. And it works quite well because it works within this group, this contained group. And sports is like another one.
It's like flat earth videos. My buddy has a video. My buddy has less views on his videos, but he has a flat earth person on there, and his video in 3 days gets 10,000 views. And then I have an astrophysicist telling you why it's not flat. And then that only gets a few views because no one likes the science. They want mystery.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And this is why science is taking a battering at the moment, because people with science, it's hard to get your head around it. If you've not got that scientific mind, you know, all that kind of, you know, stuff, the scientific, academic
stuff.
Voodoo
and shit is so much fun compared to fucking laws of physics, man.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
You could stab a doll and hurt somebody rather than watching a brick fall into a trampoline. It doesn't make any sense.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you kind of get your head around gravity. And the mathematical equations and all this kind of stuff. It's so hard, you know, if you're not into that, if you've not got that scientific mind. But then you can watch a video about flat earth and say, oh yeah, you know, and they love it, the mystery, you know, the kind of
the world's gone to shit.
You know, and with coming back to Freemasonry, you know, you know, people think, oh, well, yeah, they might be just kind of, you know, playing bowls on a Saturday night or whatever. But then again, they might not. They might be locked in a room doing a ritual, you know, doing some kind of weird stuff, you know.
You're going to make my theory come true that they're going to start burning down Freemason lodges if you say that. Yeah, people think it. I heard them say it.
Well, it's happening now because wasn't there some guy in Canada that burnt down about three Masonic temples in somewhere.
Oh, Alberta or something like that. The Pope is on everyone's fucking hit list at this point now. They raided the Vatican again. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Yeah, the craziness.
I love how we went from airplane crashes to fucking political elites and Illuminati. That was great. Hey man, you gave me enough of your time, dude. Where can people see your books? I'd like to have you back on again to maybe start off the 1,000 episodes right. You know, get with some real corporate.
Yeah. We'll do it. So it's always a pleasure. Always great to do these things, you know, and just let it flow. But yeah, again, just go on Google, type in Dr. David Harrison, Freemasonry books. They'll come up. Something will come up.
Something. So, Illuminati episode from Out of the Blank will pop up. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank. Stay tuned for next episode.